Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and, of course, prayers, as we always close this segment with prayer, especially the Lord's Prayer. But mostly it's just about my thoughts. And I've been thinking what I wanted to try to do with this Pastor's Thoughts, more than just having my thoughts, maybe use this as a teaching mechanism or something. You know, when I had my radio program, the Word is the way to life. And you know who the Word is? Jesus. And He is certainly the way to life. So I might do some devotions or different things like that. But I've been thinking about our world and all the challenges that's been going on. And, of course, you know, I believe that there is a literal devil. And some of the things we're going through is... He's the God of this world, that's for sure. So, you know, we have a fellow that comes to the church once in a while, Freddie Davis. And he talks about and teaches, he did a good teaching for us on biblical worldviews. And, you know, and we are doing a little bit on Sunday morning in church, talking about the end of the age of grace and all of that kind of stuff and things, I don't know. So anyhow, I said all that to say this. There is such thing as a worldview and a biblical worldview, and they are totally different. And I just want to look at just three of them. Three dangerous worldview. And these things happen in society. They are widespread, and they conflict with biblical viewpoints and that. But we need to be aware of these in order to combat them. Jesus always said, make sure that it's me. It's the test of spirit, and make sure it's of me, because Satan can twist scriptures. But I want us to think about a couple questions. And think about what your answers might be. White lies, situational ethics, could be justified, or you for? No, I don't want to get political about this, so just know this is not political, this is reality. Are you, and this is the way our society is, are you for or against abortion? What about same-sex marriage? When you take a walk in nature, do you reflect on God's created abilities, or does it make you feel at one with Mother Earth? Now, I'm being a little facetious, but these are realities. Or do you routinely check your horoscope? I'm guilty about that once in a while. I like to just look over and say, oh, October. Anyhow, but what gives you more hope? Scientific advances or the Bible? Have you responded to these questions, been thinking about it, and how you respond largely gives you your worldview? It's a simple thing how we look at worldview. It's how a person perceives realities in the world that we live in. Jesus said we're in the world, not of the world, but we're here. We got to deal with worldly stuff, and so we got to do that. I think really it's a set of foundational beliefs about life that helps us determine how to think and behave and govern ourselves and how we treat other people, and it provides a sense of direction and purpose. Everybody has a worldview. Whether we know it or not, or identify it, we all have a worldview. And our worldview sometimes can act as a filter through which you process the information you take in. And what you think about the transgender movement, the artificial intelligence, the genetic enhancements, claims of alien encounters. I like to watch the History Channel sometimes about some of this stuff. Euthanasia, prayer in the public schools, the use of fossil fuels, carbon footprints, or any other topic that's in the news is going to shape your worldview more than anything else. But traditionally, most Americans has held at least a very loosely, at nothing else, a loosely known biblical worldview, seeing life through the lens of the Bible as it's understood. Reverence for God and His truth is viewed from the starting point of all knowledge and understanding, we're told in Proverbs chapter 1. While there are differences in interpret in Scripture, that's for sure, because all the scriptures that we have, including the King James Bible, isn't in translation. And sometimes we interpret scripture on our own way. We're not all theologians, but the good news is God's word is true. So if you study God's word, no matter which translation you use, you can't take away the spiritual truth of his word. So if you look at the Bible, you understand the Bible, you study the Bible, and you'll generally agree biblical worldview that God is the creator of the universe and the Bible is his inspiration and infallible word, and that absolute moral standards do exist as they are spelled out in scriptures. Now, in the last few decades, increasingly few people are professing belief in God. They've done some surveys on this, and it's just amazing. Tina brought us some stuff the other day that she did some research on, and surveys and stuff, and what people thought about who Jesus was, and all. It's very interesting. We can get you a copy of it if you like, and thank Tina for doing that. Because I always said, don't take what I say as gospel, check it out. Tina called me the other day and said, you know, I never heard of dispensation before until you mentioned it on Sunday. And she said, I'm doing some studies and understanding it to see about all the different dispensations in human history and how we are on a biblical view of the return of Christ. It's very interesting. So I'm not an expert on anything. But the only thing I'm an expert on is my own personal relationship with God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But we all have our individual journey. Life is not a sprint. It is a journey. So we got to learn and we got to be pruned and you name it. Well, anyhow, I digress. Because the alternative worldviews many are turning to are in direct opposition of the one true God and his biblical teachings. So what follows are some of the things. I just want to highlight a couple of them just to throw them out there and just let you think about them. And then you can do with them with what you want. You can maybe investigate them a little bit more, do your own research, but the first one is secular humanism. Okay, preacher, what is that? Well, it's a belief system seeking to advance society solely through human reasoning and intellect. And it's built on the acceptance of basically evolution, the theory that mankind and all other forms of life emerged through some kind of random chance. Materialism. A philosophical stance on maintaining that everything exists is ultimately only physical in origin and in nature. Now, this kind of leads to what they call secular humanism, basically rejecting the existence of God in the spiritual realm and the hope of the afterlife. Well, I like to say what Paul says, that if you didn't have eternal life and having something to look forward to, we'd be a sorry bunch of puppies. And thanks be to God, when you accept Christ, you hang on to the gift of eternal life, the hope of. The other thing is postmodernism. Now, secular humanism rejects the Bible as the source of truth, but postmodernism balks at both the Bible and scientific teaching, claiming that the objective, the timeless, universal truth do not exist. And postmodernists argued there are only relative truths that apply to some individuals and cultures in certain situations. But, I like the buts, not others. These are always subject to change. And the other one is cosmic humanism. That's an interesting topic. Also known as the New Age movement or New Spirituality. Cosmic humanism is a conglomeration of extra-biblical and pagan religious beliefs rooted in Eastern mysticism, notably Buddhism and Hinduism and Gnosticism. The teaching of physical matter is evil. That's what the Gnostics say, and occultism, astrology, channeling, numerology, divination, witchcraft. All these ideologies have been around forever. They become packaged together whenever the New Age emerged in the 70s, basically, is when it really was emerged, and it got more and more and more. But I said all that to say that you can look at some of those things. Check it out for yourself. But the important thing is you got to be on guard, your own self. You got to guard your own spiritual life. You got to take care of yourself, because I guarantee if you don't take care of yourself physically, spiritually, and everything else, I can guarantee nobody else is going to do it. They might say, well, I help take care, but they don't. You got to do it yourself. And it's the same with our relationship with God. We got to get to know Him better and better and better. So the philosophies behind each one of these worldviews that I mentioned removes God and laws from truths for people's lives so that they can justify their thinking and whatever they want. So you have to be on guard. Undoubtedly, Satan is behind all of these belief systems. The Bible tells us that he deceives the whole world and refers to him as the god of this age, the prince of the power of air, the ruler of this world. You can find all that in Revelation chapter 12 and 2 Corinthians 4 and Ephesians 2 and John chapter 12. Satan knows how to make his twisted ideas look true and good, though they are in fact, very distinctive deception. So, my prayer for all of us is we need to be aware of Satan's ploys so that we don't get taken by a hollow or deceptive philosophies. Now, it's not what we need. It's not what we need to do is to become an expert in all these things. It is, after all, false worldviews that are out there. We're bombarded with them all the time. And, whether it's in print or television or radio, and just common talking with people and going here and there. It's we in the world, not of the world, as Jesus said. But we need to work hard to maintain a true biblical worldview. And we achieve this by making time for reading of the Bible, for study, prayer, meditation, coming to church and fellowshipping with other believers. It says in Proverbs, you know, iron sharpens iron. And that's what we need to do. We need each other. The book of Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. When one falls down, the other is to pick us up. So we're grateful for that. So I hope you maybe you get something out of my little thoughts and little things. I look at these things almost every day. I'm not an expert on them, but I like to be aware or at least know what's going on in the world and around us. And but if you trust Jesus, as the Bible says, if you confess with your lips and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Ooh, saved from what, preacher? Saved from all that mess that I just described. It's and from eternal damnation. Yeah, and it's a simple prayer. Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior, and if you're everything that you are, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be Lord over it. And he will come, and you don't get him in pieces, you get him all. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, we have a lot of people that's on the prayer list and different things. One of the good news is Clark Campbell Evans, our district superintendent, rung the cancer bell. He's been dealing with prostate cancer, and he is now cancer-free. Thank God for modern technology. But we have a lot of people that we lift up in prayer in church, and they're on our list, and you don't really need an 800 number or call up a preacher and say, pray for me. Although we are ready and willing and able to pray with anybody anytime. But the most important thing is to learn to talk to God yourself. That's the most important. And guess what? He wants to talk to you. So you don't have to have a special prayer or a written prayer and just, you know, just cry out and say, Daddy, I want to talk to you. Just like we talk to each other. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples as we close this little segment. and that we all come into a prayer of agreement for whoever needs a touch from God by praying the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning into the online service. And any thoughts or suggestions or whatever, Phil and I both are open. The information how to contact us is on the website. So I pray you have a great day in Jesus' name.